listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, January 10th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm very glad to be here.
So glad to have you, and so glad to have those joining us live as well. We also thank those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, Dr. Vicki, we're going to kind of have an open discussion. And I know that you wanted to discuss a recent video that's been making the rounds that has some interesting thoughts.
Well, yeah, I do. And actually, this is a bit of a preface also to next week, folks, a very special program. Dr. Douglas Kelly is going to be joining Michael and a special guest, a recent graduate of IMHS, and they're going to be talking about ufology and stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
So, unfortunately, to let you all know, I won't be joining you next week. It is my granddaughter's 16th birthday, Michael. She's 16. Oh, my God. So, you cannot miss 16th birthday, any birthday for that matter. But you're all in good hands with Dr. Kelly and Michael, and I will absolutely be listening to that in the archives for sure.
Well, you will be missed, but we understand, you know, you have apparently things outside of this that you have to do occasionally too, like family stuff.
I know, we all have a life. But listen, there's a for those of you who might recognize the name Jeremy Corbell, he's an artist, filmmaker, also ufologist, I always say that wrong, you know. He came across and recently released what they call the jellyfish. This is pretty cool, actually. I've watched the footage. I've watched Jeremy Corbell in an interview. And I'm going to kind of glean over Global News, which is in Canada, this particular report. And it was over a U.S. airbase in it was overseas. Hang on here a second. In Iraq,
probably America.
I believe. No, it's in Iraq. Yeah. And anyway, Iraq or Iran? Sorry about that, folks. I should have my facts.
Definitely not Iran. We don't have any bases there.
So, in Iraq. So, it was only visible through an infrared radar, a thermographic forward-looking infrared radar. Couldn't see it in, you couldn't even see it through night vision. But this footage of this jellyfish, what they call it, this UAP, going across, changing color, which indicates some kind of heat signature, changing heat signature, then went out over into the water, dropped down in the water, was gone for 17 minutes, and reemerged from the water and went out at a 45-degree angle. They have all the footage of it. Excuse me. And nobody is saying what it is, except that it has been seen before. And I know in this particular article, there was a fellow actually from Vancouver, Canada, said that one of his kids saw it 20 years ago. There's another one quoted as saying they saw it over Damascus in Syria in 2023. And at first they thought it looked like a plastic bag, but it turned out it wasn't. So this is really interesting stuff. I kind of wonder, how come they're releasing more of this? It does look like legitimate footage, Michael. It's not Photoshopped stuff. And, excuse me, coughing. I really think that this is going to be a year of more disclosures. That's my thought. That's my premonition. And I think that we've been building up to something. And I'm not familiar with the jellyfish guys myself, and the little green man, I don't know. But there's all kinds. There's countless, you know, the cigar-shaped, the discs, you know, the triangles, and the list is long. And again, how many different species people claim are living amongst us. So I'm going to be really interested in, you know, what our special guest has to say next week. Not just about this. There's other things. What was it, an alien in Miami? You know, I kind of had to laugh at that one. Everybody's saying, oh, what's that? Thing is, there's so many hoaxes now. You have to be really careful. I've said that time and again.
People want to believe.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean you should go way out of your way to make things unreal, because then it discredits what is real, you know?
Right, absolutely.
People want to have their 15 seconds of fame, I think.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of times people, you know, people that enjoy producing hoaxes, it has a whole trip when you fool somebody into thinking something, you know. There's a, I don't really know what the dynamic is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really a hoaxer per se, but my thing is I'll do what I think is an obvious lie for like 5 seconds before I say the truth. Usually it's just in a joking context, but anytime somebody actually falls for it, it is delightful. And I don't know why. But.
Yeah, well, your entertainment. Audra's saying in the chat that she got to meet Jeremy Corbell a few years ago.
Oh, wow.
And he had a very interesting info and presentation regarding the Tic Tac with a fellow ufologist, David Fravor. So I found that really fascinating, Audra, and thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely.
You know, I think we're coming into a new time, a new era of, you know, a different kind of awakening. I know that's such a cliche word these days. Are you awake?
It doesn't have to be this grand.
But you know, I've seen my share of stuff, had my own experiences, and I don't disbelieve. There's a lot of things I haven't seen, but I have no reason to not believe people, you know?
Well,
just because I didn't see it.
True. I've met a lot of people, so sometimes my default is to assume somebody's wrong about something until I can verify it otherwise. But that being said, there are reputable people that are very grounded and very rational, and they have some very compelling stories and arguments on these things. I do have a phrase. It's my own creation, and it's maybe a little bit negative, but I throw it around when I want to have fun. I say that most people are wrong about most things most of the time. And I think it just, I say it to mean that, you know, we're all, you know, I say it mostly to keep myself humble because I'm part of the most people. So I try to realize that there's something that I think to be true right now, and I say it with confidence, and I believe it to be true, and I'm going to be wrong about it. I just don't know it yet.
Yeah. Dr. Mike says in the chat, trust but verify.
Oh, yes. Excellent. Sure. Excellent.
You know, absolutely. That's true. You know, speaking of which, I had a conversation with a young lady today, a client of mine, and it had to go in the direction of believing what people say. And I'm not, you know, breaking any confidence because you guys don't know who she is. But a fellow she had been dating sent her a text because she's about 8 years older than he is. He wants a family. And she's already 40. She's willing to have a family. But he wrote her a text and said, you know, the age difference bothers him. He wanted a younger wife, and he wants to build a family, and that this isn't going to work out. And, of course, she's in a tither. And I said, well, I think he's got some integrity to even tell you that. He could have ghosted you. You know, he could have done it on the phone or in person, but the fact that you even got a text and you said that, I say kudos to him. Yes, but shouldn't we have a discussion to talk about this age thing? I said, there's nothing to talk about. You know, it's when we reach a point when we just take somebody's word for something, number one, we're holding them accountable.
Yeah.
Even if people say things they don't mean. Duh. Because they're used to entering into dynamic that's dysfunctional. But when somebody makes that kind of a statement, they've thought about it long and hard, made a decision, stated their case, and there's nothing left to do. So I said, I suggest that you write him back. Thank you very much for telling me. I think you're a great guy. You know, and leave it at that. And, of course, she's, you know, quite upset. And I said, I understand how you feel. But this is one of those times when we all have to start learning to accept what people say as their statement. It's not to be argued about, discussed about, trying to change somebody's mind. You know, there's no point.
And you know? I think a lot of times, I was going to say, I think a lot of times people assume nefarious intent when there isn't, when it's not there.
Yeah.
And I think also a lot of times, and this is kind of what I also, you know, mean when I say the whole, you know, most people are wrong about most things, blah, blah, blah. But I think that, you know, sometimes people are not lying. They're just wrong. They don't mean to be. They think they're right. And I mean, so a lot of times, you know, it'll be, you know, the news is nefarious because they lie, but the news is just sometimes wrong. Now, sometimes they do lie, but yep. Life is complicated.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Dr. Mike has said, at my age, there are very few people that I trust. Well, Mike, you're not alone in that club, to be honest. You know, I have this very small circle of people in my life, and yes, I would trust them. But trust in what capacity? Trust them with my life? A couple. Like if it came to that life or death situation, or it's a crisis or something, there's a couple I would trust. I would hope I could trust them. Trusting someone to be loyal, have integrity, not lie. You know, I trust these people with that. Other people, And a part of it is the world has changed so much that I'm not so sure that I'm in a place of my thinking is I don't think they know who they are to trust themselves that I might trust them. So kind of in keeping with what you're saying, Michael, you know?
Yeah. I think trust is a very complicated thing, and it has a lot, like you're saying, a lot of varying degrees. I mean, I can honestly say that I trust all of my friends, but that trust is different for each of them. You know, I trust them to be who they are, and I have expectations, and, you know, I trust them to have good intent, but a lot of times that's different for different people.
Well, because most people don't know who they are.
True. You know,
go ahead.
I was thinking about that when you were talking about your friend who had the story about person who, you know, didn't want to be with them because they were older and they wanted to talk about it. I think they thought maybe they could change their minds. And I think they thought they could change their mind because a lot of times people, you know, don't know what they want or who they are. And they're trying to figure it out themselves at the same time that they're talking out loud.
Well,
not
I think
saying that she should
have
done that. I'm just commenting.
Yeah. It also has to do with, you know, what stage your life that you're in. You're trying to figure out people, trying to have conversations, trying to understand yourself through those conversations and dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And very often we can be, others can be swayed against what they're thinking to accommodate others, to suit others, suit the situation. You know, oh yeah, I see your point. Okay, I'll go there.
Yeah.
And it's that bending because we haven't put enough thought into it. We haven't had that at a very young age. You haven't had the life experience to teach you otherwise. And, you know, and I think my job in this case is, I'm sorry that this is one of those moments that you have to take it for what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's at face value. He's made a statement. You have to accept that. There's no discussion to be had. And even if you entered into that discussion, you'll be disappointed.
Well,
and hypothetically, let's say you could change his mind. You carry on the relationship for longer. He's going to come back to that point.
Very, very likely and possible. Yeah. And I think, you know, at that point, you know, whether you think he's wrong or not, you know, that's the point that he's at in his life. And you have to take that and you have to accept it. You're absolutely right.
So if somebody comes to me and said, I saw a UFO, I say, cool. Somebody says, you know, I saw a Sasquatch up in the mountain, I say, cool. You know, like, I take that at, and it doesn't mean I have to trust them. That doesn't mean anything. It's like Dr. Mike has said, trust but verify. Well, there's no way to verify that. So I just trust that they believe what they say. And that's good enough for me because it doesn't affect me. You know, there are some people, but I will say this, a couple of people I know who claim to have seen Bigfoot, and I absolutely trust that they saw what they claimed to see.
Very true.
And I say, cool. You know, I think that's awesome. And of course, it changes. With all of life's experiences and what we see that's a little out of the ordinary, it changes us in some way. It changes our perspective, our feelings, it opens our mind, and other possibilities. I would love to see a Sasquatch. You know, but, I mean, I live in...
Don't you live in, like, the Sasquatch Central?
We are. Somebody I know, and I am a very trustworthy source, saw one probably about 20 miles from here. You know, and well, they're in the area. So, yeah, the Rocky Mountains is, you know, plentiful with all kinds of stories and folklore and, you know, pretty cool things. So, I mean, it's opening to the unknown. But again, back to the people and the dynamics of people. I mean, Jeremy Corbell absolutely believes he has something factual. He has verified it to his satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to release it to hopefully not risk his reputation in some way, we hope. You know?
Yeah.
And so, okay.
And, you know, I think that when it comes to things like Sasquatch, things like UFOs, where there's a wide range of experiences and types of experience, some of them are going to be hoaxes. There's a comedian that I follow. He grew up in Idaho, in a rural Idaho, in a town of like 400 and some odd people. He and a couple of his friends were bored as heck, so what they would do is they had a Sasquatch costume. They'd put it on and jump out at people along the rural road and then run back into the forest just to mess with them. So that happens. But then I also think that there are credible tales as well. So I think it's always going to be a mix. If one thing is a hoax, it doesn't mean that every one iteration of that is a hoax.
Well, where did they get the idea to do it in the first place?
Yeah, chicken and egg.
Somebody's got to have a vivid imagination, or it started somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, undoubtedly. Yeah. And while we're talking about trust, Dr. Zorin put in an old quote, trust everybody, but cut the cards, from quoted Finley Peter Dunn. So I thought that was a good one.
Kevin is saying, I'm wary of trusting as I've been conned more times than I'm willing to admit.
Mm.
You know, I want to say, though, when it comes to business, and I know I'm going to sound really kind of cold about this, business is a game. And when you enter into business, people generally in the game is they want what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they will sell it to you like a used car.
Well,
you know,
or that's definitely a type of business.
Sure, and or you know, attach all this emotional stuff that tugs at us. So we think somebody has integrity. I've had to say no to a lot of things because I'm not going there.
You know,
and I get a bad feeling about something, or I've been conned a few times too, where somebody didn't follow through on what they were supposed to do, and I got left holding the bag. And honestly, I tell you, I had again. Many years ago, I owned a beauty salon. I co-owned it. And my business partner was off trying to sell real estate. I'm looking after my kids, looking after the shop. The girl I left in charge, I didn't know she's selling cocaine out of the salon, you know.
And, is that not legal in Canada?
Apparently not. And then she stole the rent money.
Oh, jeez. You know.
So, you know, it lasted a year, and it was because of that trusting somebody, mm-hmm. you know, I lost the business. But
well,
now
know,
that being said, you know, it's we all want to be trusting, and we want to take that trust into a matter of money and business.
Sure.
But.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's complicated. You know, you are correct that for a lot of people, business is a game and it's about selling something. You know, salespeople will, you know, point out that if they're misleading on a topic, but not outright lying, it's okay because they're salespersons and what have you. But I've had a few thoughts on that in my life. And I've said before on this program that I fear belief, you know, because it can mislead you. But I do have some beliefs, and one of those beliefs is sincerity and sincerity in business. You know, there's the old phrase, you know, don't hate the player, hate the game. I've always thought about that. Yeah, but it's the players that make the game what it is.
I know.
And
I know.
You know, so I also believe very, very fervently that sincerity in business is good business.
I agree. But there are very few people who do that, Michael. And I've always tried to be sincere because to me, I've had this thought that I have to live with this when I leave this world. This is whatever happens when we leave this body, that is on my conscience. So, you know, don't lie, steal, and so on. Just be as upfront as you can.
The moral thing ends up being the best, you know, practical, rational, just means to an end thing in the long run, most of the time. And that's in business and that's in life. You know, if you are cheating people, you know, you're either going to have to be a pretty good con person or you're going to lose out on your business eventually. If you're always, you know, shortchanging your friends or not holding up your end, you're going to lose the friends. Yeah. There is both a moral and a practical aspect to ethics.
Well, Dr. Zach has said in the chat, too, especially today, scammers can make a lot of money very quickly, and they prey on people who are kind, considerate, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and, of course, in the Internet, social media.
No, absolutely. And that's a good point, because social media, you get paid for interaction. It doesn't matter if they click on that or engage with that link because they're angry or and they're calling you a liar or because they believe it. You can get people to engage. You're making money.
Oh, yeah, and how many people have been, you know, conned out of banking money and savings and, you know, So, you know, there's a rule of thumb. I anybody who sends me a friend request, I probably get a dozen a week. And they're usually those, you know, guys who've stolen an ID.
Mm.
I delete it. Delete.
Oh,
This week I got a couple, but they were from friends of friends. And I go to their page and I say, okay, is this legit? And if it appears legit, then I'll accept it. But
you know,
I don't click on links. I don't click on, you know.
You have to be careful.
I'm careful. I often wonder how they do all the political surveys, Stats Canada surveys and stuff, because I don't answer those 1-800 numbers.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. They're pointing out that polls are beginning to not be reflective because who answers an unknown number anymore? And a lot of times some polls don't even include cell phones. Yep. They call landlines. They're in the public record. Who has a landline?
Yep. Dr. Zach is adding romance scams are really prevalent, especially around the holidays.
I was
sorry, Michael. I was just saying this young lady I was talking to today, I had a long think about it afterward, how many lonely people there are and how much the last few years has really had that surface of people are feeling very alone and not connected. But I think also lost a bit of the skill in how to interact with people and how to connect or bond with others. You know, how do you have an actual dialogue, a conversation that's not on your phone and, you know, through – you know, OMG. You know? And so it's how lonely people are, and that's how they get suckered.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, and that's a perfect segue into it. You were talking about, you know, scams on the internet. If I'm on Twitter defending democracy with my typing, I, you know, will often find people will follow me or they'll like things or they'll engage with me, and then they'll direct message me, and it's always somebody trying to find a relationship and things like that. I'm like, oh, okay, that catfishing, that's a scam. All right, I'm done. You know? And there's a whole industry for it, and it is sad because if it fails 1,000 times but works once, you know, it's a volume business, and it's preying upon the most vulnerable, and it's really, truly disgusting.
Yeah, it is. Dr. Mike says he still has a landline. I've got to tell you, I so miss my landline.
Got a lot of respect for you, Dr.
The only reason
I
got rid of it is how much they were going to charge me for it. Because then it was an extra whole bunch of money, and I went, what? So I joined the rest of the world and people I know and got rid of my landline. I have often thought of bringing it back, though. I was cleaning out my closet the other day and saw my landline phone, and I said, oh, I missed you. I had this long conversation with it.
You know, it's funny. In my entire adult life living on my own, I've never had a landline. You know, moving out in my 20s, we had cell phones and then, you know, and there were just, you know, I had roommates. I mean, who's going to pay for a single line for the house when you have, you know, two or three people living in the house? Mm-hmm. You know, you all have your own cell phones.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Mike also says he only answers if he knows who's calling. Because you know what? There's a voicemail.
True enough. True enough.
You know, the voicemail.
That's what it's there for, to screen calls.
So if anybody would like a card tonight, I know we don't have a big crowd tonight, but we sure have a group of regulars. Wendy is off having her own party, I might add.
Having fun without us. Just like you're going to do next week.
I know. Well,
it's like people don't think about me first before you make, you know, decisions in life.
Well, and I even verified it today. I texted her and said, let me be clear. Her birthday's on Wednesday and that's the family dinner. She goes, yes, with big exclamation marks. So I knew what that meant.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, I mean, it's,
you know, and I think,
I'm joking, of course.
She is so strict about this birthday party on the birthday. And I thought, yeah, but who taught her that?
You know, we were talking about this a bit earlier. You know, it's so funny when it comes to like holidays and birthdays. They've never had the same impact with me. Like, I do attribute it to my formative years being a Jehovah's Witness, where, you know, we never celebrated that stuff.
I know.
So it's never had, you know, and it has been to my detriment because there are times where I don't have the expected engagement with, you know, like a birthday or, you know, something, or I'll forget or things like that. And I don't mean to be dismissive, and I love these people. I truly do. It didn't occur to me, and I've had to train myself to be better at that.
You know, I understand that, Michael. Of course, it was a bit of a big deal, although flexible, when I was a kid. You know, having a birthday cake and whatever, but Mike said, did you get her a car? I got a little story for you guys. I'll tell you in a second. When my kids are coming up, I thought, this is your one special day, and I had to learn how to celebrate my own birthday, and it's to celebrate the self, and I'm so glad you're here in this world. That's my message behind it, so... Okay, we do have some names in the chat, but I'm going to tell you a little story, kids. So when Dr. Mike says, did you get her a car? No, but I got a car.
Hmm.
My second daughter and her husband were up from the U.S. through Yuletide. First time in 15 years, both my girls have been in, you know, the same place and on Yuletide. It was very special. But a really big surprise, my daughter and her husband, who were up here, took it upon themselves to buy me a new car. I kid you not. I'm still
fancy.
I'm still in a surreal place because my poor car I've been driving since 2005. You know, mechanically fine. The body's falling apart, kind of like me. You know, and no. Kind of get her a new car. So they went to great lengths. It was a complete surprise. And, it's heaven. Oh. I feel like I'm driving a spaceship, but I'll get used to it.
She's describing it to me, and I am legitimately jealous. And I am feeling envy. No, it's a wonderful thing. And it's a wonderful thing your kids did. And it's those moments in life, those moments of true caring that really make it just so worthwhile. Well,
I mean, who gets that? If, you know, it's not like they're, what was it? Somebody said, I didn't know your family was rich. I said, trust me, they're not. Trust me, they are not. But they went above and beyond to give that to Mom. And no, I wept a lot of tears, trust me.
Well, that's very sweet.
And I was very nervous to drive this thing a long time.
You know. I think just tying into this, and by the way, Dr. Jeff, I do have your name down, and I have a card drawn for you, but real quick on this topic of lies on the internet and new cars and what have you, there's been one going around of a teenager getting a car on her 16th birthday, and she goes out, and it's a brand new Tesla, and, you know, she's, like, got her eyes covered, and she opens it, and the disappointment on her face, and I'm pretty sure this whole thing's staged, but the disappointment on her face, and she's like, you know, I don't like this. This isn't what I wanted. I was like, what? And he's like, I don't want an electric car. But you were telling me you wanted an electric car. No, I wanted the electric Mercedes. I didn't want a Tesla. And then she, like, throws her, like, something at the car and walks away. Like, I know it was probably staged. Still made me so angry.
But, so Dr. Edward is asking what model is it. It's a 2019 Ford Escape. And my other one from 2005 is a Ford Escape. I love the Ford Escape. That's
very
just
nice.
Me. And so it's beautiful, not a mark. It has 55,000 kilometers on it. And you Americans have to translate. I can't do the math on how many miles
that is. Well, people do. They use miles, too. It's not just that.
So it's, there's a bit of a mystical story behind it. I'll tell you about some other time, but it's pretty special.
Oh, that's a lot to set up a mystical story and have to put people off on it. But all right,
well, maybe after we've drawn some cards here, I'll fill you in on
fair
that.
Fair enough.
Okay. Dr. Jeff is up first. What do you got, Michael?
Dr. Jeff, for you, I have number 39, education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Well, there's a little comment in there, Jeff, about, you know, sourcing advice from different sources and people included. And I got the Queen of Spades for you. So I think you and your partner have a special connection, and she might have some ideas and certainly some insight into projects and stuff that you might be embarking on. So I want to say, good collaboration there, and I feel really positive, and I see a big heart over it. So you're on a learning curve, but, you know, let people who are good at something do the good things they're good at. That's what I want to say.
Very nice.
Very cool. Kevin.
Kevin, for you, I have number 44, also in the life skills suit, attitude disposition. Enthusiasm or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Well, I got the Three of Hearts there, Kevin. That's a really good sign. And I know you were saying earlier about trust and being very careful, but trust to what degree? So I feel like you're in a situation where you could be trusting a collaboration of sorts and having a positive attitude in what you bring to the table. And I feel like it's something that's short-term, not necessarily long-term, but you certainly benefit in having a positive approach to it. So, again, I feel good about this. Any three of anything just wants to be happy. That Three of Hearts, you know, wants to feel happy, be happy, and share that happiness. So, I think this, what I'm seeing is a bit of a collaboration or some kind of a project or deal, perhaps, is a really good thing. Very nice.
All right, we have Dr. Zorin next. And I have for you, number 19, the spirituality suit, invoke the counselor within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means to summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
I got the Five of Clubs, that Five of Wands, Zoran. I like that. Where there might have been a bit of an inner struggle, it's like feeling that's put to rest. It's like you making peace with something, perhaps, or you were in a, maybe not a turmoil, but just an inner think about something and trying to sort something through. And I feel like you've arrived or you're just arriving, and that counselor within is about trusting yourself more and making peace with something you may have wanted to correct in yourself or something that you've been working on. And so I'd say, whew, that's progress. Truly progress.
All right.
Okay. Dr. Mike. We have Dr. Mike.
All right. And Dr. Mike, this is kind of perfect as to your trust but verify. You get number 24, truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet, the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
Whew. You know, epiphanies, realizations, awakenings happen at any age. And I'm with you on that one, Mike. And this is the Ace of Hearts. So a truth, and that Ace of Hearts is like an inner awakening of some kind, something that's sparked, something that, oh, it's like having a light bulb moment and feeling really good about it, feeling positive. And it's like, I think you're right onto something. It's right on the edge of something that you want to throw yourself into. And because that's your truth and something that you want to pursue. So that, I feel kind of excited about that. The Ace of Hearts is really powerful. It's not just about coming from the heart in an emotional way. It's coming from the heart in a spiritual way. So it's living in your, you know, your own center kind of thing. So it's like you found your own truth or something else that makes sense to you. Cool. Very cool. I think we have...
You know, two things. We have Dr. Edward next, but I've been looking at the chat, and there's a numbered name in the chat. That's me. I signed in as Dr. Michael. I did not. I'm the number anonymous person.
Oh, so you're trying to go incognito.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I'm trying to slip in under the radar. Dr. Edward, for you, I have wild card number 6, entropy. Oop, pass it. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still, and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that person lowers their personal entropy, and the world is a better place.
You know, I got the Emperor, Edward, and entropy, it's about energy, right? And sometimes we think when you come into your own power, you should be, modified somehow, you know, because we want to keep our ethics in check. We want to keep our integrity in check. But you can be self-confident and your own emperor. In other words, it's like your own boss, but in a brand new way. It doesn't mean a boss as, throwing orders around. It just means that center of empowerment and how your energy is balancing out, you know. So it's, I think this is a really good thing. It's like you might have, I think you've entered like a new phase of some kind. And I feel very calm about it, but it's also an exciting calm, you know. It's good. Yeah, you're your own emperor, rising into your own power.
I like it.
So Dr. Mike has said, I'm positive that I'm now officially a member of the Circling the Drain Club. Might I say, everybody, Dr. Mike's birthday just passed.
That's right.
This past week on Facebook, we were there and wishing him a happy birthday.
Yeah,
and
happy
I want to say that
to
now. Belated birthday greetings.
Well, I just have to add on.
Circling the Drain Club.
We're all in the Circling the Drain Club. We're just at different positions on that circle. But, all right. So, I think we have one more card, if we have time. And I don't know. I was really on the fence. But I think Audra wanted a card, too. And I guess, fine.
I have Zach down here as well.
Oh, gosh darn.
I think I have Zach before.
You do have Zach. I'm rereading it. And, yeah. Okay. So, hey, guess what, Zach? This one doesn't go to Andre. This one goes to Zach, and the cosmos ordained it. Zach, you get number one, perfection. Always remember that you are a perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
I got the world, Zach. So think perfection, world. I think you kind of know what that means, but for the sake of everybody, it's like opportunity in all the directions. It's like a well-balanced opportunity that satisfies all elements of yourself, you know, that emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and so there's opportunity here, Zach, and it's a perfect work in progress. So I say go for it. It's a perfect setup.
All right. Now, Audra, if and I'm not mistaken.
I don't think we have time for Audra.
You know what? You're right. You're right. We're 44 minutes in. We got to cut it.
I know.
But I'm actually curious, Audra. I don't know if this one might hit better for you, but I'm curious to find out if it does. Audra, you now have number 31, sacred obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
Who have been true to yourself, Audra? I got the Ace of Diamonds. These are really good cards tonight, everybody. So the Ace of Pentacles, the Ace of Diamonds, has everything to do with aspiring to possessions, finances, career, but you know who you are while you're, working to attain that and staying true to your own integrity. And I say that things are changing for the better for you this year. And I think the whole year is going to be better that way, Audra, to be honest. So, but you're already embarking on that. So taking these steps toward what suits you, what's better for you. You know, we all have to deal with stuff and people in the world. That's a given. There's no way out of that. But it's a really encouraging card that you're on the right path and staying true to yourself. And again, living by what you know are your sacred obligations.
Very nice.
I like
Very
it.
Very nice. All right.
So, one of the, okay, now I have to tell you the story of, what's up with this car. When my daughter had come over to my place, this is a couple of days before they got me the car, and we're sitting at my dining table, and right at my balcony there, a magpie sat, and she's, oh, there's a magpie, and I turned around. The magpie sat there for a couple of minutes, and I went, oh, that's Doug, not Doug Kelly. My late former partner, Doug, was also a musician, and in his backyard, he had magpies there all the time. That was his spirit animal. He'd go out and he'd talk to them. In fact, one time we'd had an argument, and we were out in the backyard, and one of these magpies flew over him and dumped on his head. That's pretty funny. So he had a real relationship with magpies. And so I said, oh, because he does, in my view, come to visit now and again, but at that particular moment. So a couple of days later, of course, was the big event, the unveiling of this beautiful black car. And my girl started suddenly singing Black Betty. You know, whoa, Black Betty, bam, bam, bam. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I went, oh, well, see, my Doug was an old classic rock blues player, you know, guitar player. And that was his whole life, music. And one of the songs he sang all the time was Black Betty. And so I went, oh, her name is Betty. So, well, the story doesn't end there. When I was cleaning out my old car in the console, I came across, tobacco, preface this part. In Indian country, you give tobacco as an offering of thanks and giving to the spirits. And Doug had done a recording for my friend who's Cree, who lives on a reserve. She had sang a song, and he recorded that for her. And she gave me a package of Rothman cigarettes to give to him. But they never got to him. You know, life was going on. He got sick, and, you know, so on. So what do? I find in this console that same package of Rothman cigarettes. And I went, oh, Doug, it's you. So it's just, so now my car's name is Betty, you can imagine. But well, in this little mystery of things happening, when I was really ill 8-9 years ago with mold poisoning, and Doug had left me $13,000. And the house I was living in was loaded with mold. And I, in this, bless her heart, the woman who was the executor sent me this $13,000, enough to buy a trailer that I could live in on the property so I'm not exposed to the mold while I was trying to sort things out. So there was Doug, my hero, again, you see, because in a way he saved me. And so this really mysterious little thread, and I'm always so in awe. And people can say, oh, it's all in your head. Well, I don't care. I like it in my head. That's the way it's going to go, because
like
the magpie,
that,
the Black Betty song out of nowhere, and a package of Rothman cigarettes. And yes, I kept them. They went in the console of my new car, and they'll be there forever, along with a little braid of sweetgrass, I might add. So that's what I travel with. And I think magic is everywhere. I really do, everyone. It's maybe not enough magic to our liking and the way we want the world to go, but it is there. And, thanks, Dr. Mike. Magpies are the one of the 8 species that can recognize themselves in a mirror. They're really, a lot of people say they're irritating and tricksters. I love them. I find them entertaining. I have a whole nest of them out in the trees right outside my house
Google
where I live
what
here.
Magpies are.
Magpies? Oh, they're black and white. They look like crows, but they're black and white.
Okay. I'm on board.
Yeah. So there's magpies, crows, and ravens in that family of birds. Ravens know the history of time forever. Crows travel between the worlds, and magpies are the guardians of this world. And they're really a very intelligent bird, I think. But enough that they would poop on Doug's head one day because he was yelling at me. And, of course, we both burst out into laughter. I mean, it was the funniest thing, really. Yeah, see, even the crows agree with me, all right? But bless his heart, he still floats around now and again and visits me. Not as much as he used to, but I certainly felt his presence this past Yuletide. And, for as much, everyone, I mean this with my heart, as much as there's so many people we've lost, we've all lost people, and as much as we'd like them here in the physical, I know that they're still present inside of us. You wish you could pick up the phone. You wish you could go for a coffee or, kick back a beer. But they live inside of us, and there's magic around us all the time. So if I can leave you with anything today, is anything is possible, whether it's, a jellyfish UAP disclosure this year or something as simple as a magpie coming in, sitting on your rail. Magic is everywhere.
Well, that is a great message to go out on, and you're absolutely right. Magic is everywhere. It is a wonderful, beautiful world. We can take part of it in every day. Just because, sometimes we have to be a little careful just not detract from all the wonderful things that happen and all the wonderful stories that are true and that really affect our lives.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that's not good in the world. Lots of stuff, and people do not so nice things. In fact, sometimes downright dirty things. And there's a whole segment of deviance in the world too. But I will take the good when the good is there, and I will live in a place of good to the best of my ability. And it's not to say I haven't made my share of mistakes. Trust me, and I probably make more. And it just means that in my good conscience, I will do my best, and that's all any of us can do, and stay true to who you are.
Well said. Well said. Well, I can't possibly top that. So I think it's that time of the evening. Audra, thank you for the feedback, by the way. She had pointed out 31 is her guiding light card. So
awesome.
Glad that connected. Thank you for the feedback, everybody. And we're looking forward to you joining us next week. Where, we're going to miss you, Dr. Vicky, but we will have the elder, Dr. Kelly, on, and we're going to have a fascinating topic. We're going to have a special guest in addition to Dr. Kelly as well, as you had mentioned earlier. The topic is redefining the UFO phenomenon in the 21st century with Dr. Rick Teleska. So very much looking forward to that. And thank you again for everybody for joining us tonight. And as we sign off, I know you had an excellent and wonderful story that you told and a wonderful saying. But any last thoughts before we sign off, Dr. Vicky?
No, don't let them push you around out there, people.
Well said. Well said. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.